Blog Talk Radio.
Peace be on our noble and honorable listening audience. We thank you so much for your patience and understanding with us. I'm not going to hold you at long at all. I'm going to bring on our dear friend and dear brother from Selma, Alabama, that we miss so greatly, Brother Imam Yusuf Abdul Salam. At the conclusion of his lecture, there's so much going on that I'm not going to say anything else. Brother Imam Yusuf Abdul Salam from the city of Selma, Alabama, one of the last stations of the battlefront for freedom, justice, and equality.
Dearly loved people, with Allah's name, the praise and thanks is for Allah. We thank Him for the gift and blessing of the model human person, Muhammad, peace be upon him, the honorable and noble servant and messenger of God. And what follows of that salute, or that traditional salutation to the last prophet, peace be upon him, the seal of the prophets, mentioned in Bible as it is given in Quran. Bring me some juice. Dearly beloved people, dearly beloved people, we greet you with the greeting of peace be unto you. As-salamu alaykum. Let me just say, it's good to hear the voice of Brother Imam, and I certainly make dua for his health and for his physical condition. We hope and pray that everything goes well in that regard. And we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to use His healing balm upon our brother. For surely health, sickness, wellness, and a lack of health is all in the hands of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. I just wanted to say that before we got started today, as Brother Imam said, there's a lot going on today. And there's a lot going on that we need to perceive, that we need to be able to understand. And let me just say, we could not just understand it but for the great religious contribution of Imam Muhammad. If you study the works of the most outstanding minds on this planet the last millennium, dearly beloved people, you have people to debate the nature of God, to debate theology, what have you. But if you think about it, none of these people has ever dealt with the science of Satan. Yes, they'll talk about the devil. And when I was growing up as a young man in the church, I had all kind of boogeyman influences about the devil. If you study all our great African American leaders, none of them brought us understanding about the science of Satan. Imam Muhammad made a contribution forever by teaching in detail the science of Satan. Even though his emphasis was upon Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in this great deen. And none of us can understand these subtle and complicated and intricate, and I would say diabolic events. Even in the word Ebola, we see a of the term diabolic, bola, abolic, abola. Take a sincere student of Imam, thoroughly educated in the science of Satan, to even have a chance to track down the slippery maneuverings of this most subtle creature in the garden. This most subtle creature in the garden. Dearly beloved people, let me also add that many of these events, though simple, the scheme and plot behind them are very, 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 very complicated. And as we try to bring the influence of Imam Muhammad in training us not just yelling, devil, 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 like was done in the Nation of Islam, but teaching us concisely and precisely on the tenets and principles that undergird the diabolic and wicked stratagems of Satan. Yes, indeed. He instructed us in the science of Satan. All these atheists and other folks, they like to talk about whether God exists. Have you heard them ever be on TV debating whether or not Satan exists? They got all kind of arguments to try to undermine and rebut the premise that God exists. But everybody stays away from any discussion, check it out, about the Satan, about the Shaitan. But thanks be to Allah that the Imam taught us thoroughly on the stratagems of Satan. And he even told us that we can't handle Satan. We can't handle him direct. But the Imam said that we can deal with his scheme. He said Satan, the satanic scheme, is weak. And when I say satanic, and when I refer to today to the signs of Satan, I'm not talking about that little silly Satanism that they try to throw out, and they say people are devil worshipers, and they get all involved in these various rituals and things supposed to be all diabolic and wicked. That stuff is child's play compared to the real Satanism or science of Satan. Oh, yes. So now, as we attempt to become bloodhounds on Satan's trail in terms of this fear-mongering strategy and scheme that's being used against American people, event after event after event, being utilized to stimulate fear and panic and insecurity. We already know in Quran when Allah breaks down this, one of the principles of Satan, he says in Quran, he says, and surely Allah speaks the truth, says Satan threaten you with poverty and indigency, but Allah promise us forgiveness and a great promise you forgiveness and a great reward, subhanAllah. So what is the threat for other than to engender fear? rather than the agenda engender fear. Let me move on, dearly beloved audience. We don't have a whole lot of time this evening, so I'm going to try to be brief and just throw some things out there, and inshallah, as students of the Lady Mayor Muhammad, we will go and reflect and think about these pointers ourselves, inshallah. Today, we would like to talk about reflections of the life, debunking the myth of Ham, reflecting on the life of a blessed Imam. And you know by now, when I say the life of a blessed Imam, we're talking about Imam Wahfuddin Muhammad, who lives though we perceive him not. Our subtopic is checking the buffoon. On the foolishness about the blood moon. Checking the buffoon on the foolishness about the blood moon. When I say buffoon, I'm talking about this so-called right-wing Christian evangelist that came up with all this hype about the blood moon, which was surely a scientific and astronomical fact. But that phenomenon has existed throughout history, and it was never called a blood moon. This individual by the name of John Hagee, trying to establish some Zionistic judgment day and salvation coming out of Zion, and trying to spook the people into thinking that somehow this so-called blood moon, which he imagined out of his own soul, was some major sign of judgment. Yes, this is certainly Yom Medin, and it may even be a metaphorical or symbolic message in this series of lunar eclipses. You know, it's supposed to be four of them, and they'll be separated from each other by about 6 months or so. We acknowledge all that. But his buffoonery in attempting to use scripture to establish his erroneous point that somehow we must look the salvation out of Zion is absolutely ridiculous. Mr. Hagin, other has a right to advocate whatever he want to believe. And if he want to advocate a buffoonery and to be a buffoon, we have a right to call it as we see it. To call it as we see it. And again, our topic today, debunking the myth of Ham, reflecting on the life of a blessed Imam, checking the buffoon on the foolishness about the blood moon. Now, let me just briefly, gradually deal with this whole thing, and we're going to talk about the blood moon and its implications very briefly, But our focus today is going to be looking at this fear-mongering on the tragedy of West African people with this potential pandemic in their land called Ebola. Now, to be quite honest with you, I don't accept as an objective scientific fact that the American people are threatened with some kind of big-time Ebola outbreak. I think that that projection is media sensationalism undergirded by satanic strategy to fearmonger, to keep the American people off balance with a series of fear crises, one after the other. And I hope that we as Muslims and believers are not getting caught up into that. That's not to say it's not tragic that some Americans have contracted this disease, and we hope and pray to Allah that they recover. But let me give you probably a scientific fact. It will probably be more Americans this winter who died from flu in large numbers compared to who may die with Ebola. Hundreds and hundreds may die with flu this winter. But how many people who go around this country every day and live winter after winter after winter, how many of us become panicked about the flu? But many of us are about to have a national breakdown. And I'm not trying to downplay the crisis, so-called crisis. But I've heard several scientists say in the media that there'll be probably more people this winter to die of flu than anything that will happen in this country pertaining to Ebola. If we look at the fact that, there's been three countries in Africa that's been brought up with this Ebola crisis: Liberia, Senegal, and Nigeria. Now, they claim that Senegal is a third world country with inadequate health care facilities, but Senegal has been able to virtually eliminate the prospect of a major Ebola outbreak. They also suggest that Nigeria, one of the largest country in Africa, if not the largest, one of the largest population-wise. The Nigerians have also boxed in the physical outbreak of Ebola. So now, what am I to believe? That Nigeria and Senegal, who happen to exist in West Africa, where this outbreak has occurred, and they're able to manage it, and they're in the physical belly of the beast, and this major modern medical technological giant that's thousands of miles away cannot handle it. All of us supposed to be shaking in our boots now about Ebola. That's enough for that. We're going to talk about another kind of Ebola that really has been a danger and is a danger and has been a satanic ploy to create global danger for hundreds of years. We need to focus on that Ebola, and we'll deal with that. Let's just get this astronomical stuff out the way very, very quickly. Excuse me, I had to drink a liquid. I'm having problems with my cough, so let me just take us to Quran Kareem to lead off, and then we'll move swiftly along. Again, I'll make the points. The dots may have to be connected at some other time, inshallah. We'll try to make the points. This is from the Surah translated, the Zodiac or the Constellation in some translations. A'udhu billahi minash shaitanir rajim, bismillah ar-rahman ar-rahim. I seek refuge in Allah and away from the rejected Satan with the name of Allah, the merciful benefactor, the merciful redeemer. By the sky, displaying the zodiacal signs. By the promised day of judgment. By the one that witnesses and the subject of the witness. And then Allah reveals, woe to the makers of the pit of the fire. This is the day of judgment. This is Yom Kippur. And all of that we see is a result of the work of the makers of the pit of the fire. I leave that commentary alone. I supplied abundantly with fuel. Behold, they set over against the fire, and they witnessed all that they were doing against the believers. And they ill-treated them for no other reason than that they believed in Allah, exalted in power, worthy of all praise. Him to whom belongs the dominions of the heavens and earth. And Allah is a witness to all things. Surely Allah speaks the truth. Now, let me just go to some words of our blessed Imam, and let me say again, I'm reading out of this language strategy, Freedom for a New People. Let me just remind us that Imam Muhammad was strategic on all levels. Even when he gave a presentation, he was strategic. He would not deliver a message in public that he would sometimes deliver to the believers when he was only addressing the believers. We have to understand that. I'm sure most of us understand that. So the book that I've been quoting out of is a book that the man that was taken from presentation that the Imam gave to some of his selected students. These remarks never were made public because the Imam strategically had to always maintain a certain image in terms of public relations. He was very wise in that regard. But the Imam is no longer here on the physical plane. So as his students, we are not necessarily at all times constrained by that strategy. We don't have to project ourselves as some kind of mega global religious leader invited to see the Pope and engaging in all kinds of upper level religious groupings. That's the role Imam had to play in his life. Me, personally, I'm just a donkey speaking with a man's voice. I don't have any great need to maintain a public image of respectability. So on this broadcast, I have strategically decided to bring out some things publicly that the Imam only said in private. I say that to say that I don't want anyone accusing me of expressing things in the name of the Imam that he allegedly said, because we reflecting on his strategic, generally moderate comments when he's speaking before the general public. But the Imam was in a car crash. And he came in his third dimension, blasting at all the icons. Not one icon withstood his strict scrutiny and rigid analysis. Go and study his work 37 years plus, and you'll see that every false icon, especially if it was related to scripture and religion, was debunked by our blessed Imam. So I'm going to quickly set the stage for what's going to be our punchline point today, inshallah, in this presentation. Again, this is from a book that the Imam remarked, the Imam made in private to his special students, and some brothers went and edited those remarks and encapsulated them in this particular publication. It's called Language Strategy, Freedom for a New People, Words by Imam Wahiduddin Muhammad. If you don't have this book, you may want to go and get it. Now, this is from page 120. I'm not going to comment, inshallah. We're not going to comment. We're not going to add not one period, nor one comma, nor one word. This is from chapter 11, page 120. The topic is diabetes in the rich man. Subtopic, the plan to capture the world. There was a plan by the Zionist devils. They don't see themselves as devils. They see themselves as angels. Iblis called himself an angel, didn't he? That's why he was up there leading the angels. There was a plan to capture the world for themselves. Dearly beloved audience, I'm looking at the situation. I better not rush this message, so I think we'll just today deal with this whole thing about the blood moon and follow up next week with part two dealing with this. The real Ebola, the real Ebolic crisis, the genuine Ebolic crisis, the threatening Ebolic crisis. Now let me go back. There was a plan to capture the world for themselves. One of the strategies for getting the world was through secret plans to manage the human nature and to progress the human nature. So whoever can be successful in achieving that will have the world. Imam goes on to say, quote unquote, God revealed his word to mankind so that man would be responsible for his own nature and for advancing that nature in the rich world that God put that nature in to get benefit from. There's no Satan in Judaism. There's no devil in Judaism. You'll never hear a Jew preaching and saying devil, have you? Or a Jew preaching Satan or devil. The Imam, quote-unquote,
Now, if you study the history of the West the last 2,000 years, if some of the greater minds that have been produced by the West from the Jewish ethnicity, from Paul to Spinoza to Durkheim to Freud to Marx and many, many others, if these great minds, and in the world of physics, Einstein and Pauli and many, many others, if they did not speak on Satan, and they did not bring the science of Satan, then who else brought the science of Satan? The only person that brought the science of Satan is the one who I just read in this quote. And the quote itself is dealing with one of the stratagems of the satanic mind.
Let me just briefly go to Bible, and I don't usually read Bible, but this buffoon used this scripture to try to project this buffoonery before the world, that somehow this blood moon, because it occurred near the Passover and the Feast of the Tabernacle, this particular astronomical phenomenon, again, which is not new, a total moon eclipse in a series of four, and they usually are 6 months apart. It's happened before throughout the centuries. Probably happen again. And I'm especially looking at this one that's going to occur in 2032 and 2033, exactly 100 years after the birth of our blessed Emmanuel. But that's a topic for another day. Let me just, in my internet research, on this buffoonery seat, the way that they project the buffoonery is that they always project scripture in a literal manner. No attempt to decipher or decode the message, but a raw literal projection. And in this case, talking about the physical color of the moon, a tiny color that he named, I'm talking about this buffoon, John Hagee, Pastor John Hagee, that he named the blood moon. The scientists never referred to it as a blood moon. And he based all this prophecy on these verses from Bible. And this is from Joel 2:10. It says that the earth shall shake before them, the heavens shall tremble, the sun and moon shall be dark. Now, even though the darkness referred to both the sun and moon in the scripture that he used, he somehow transformed that dark in relation to the moon and said, call it a blood moon, and the stars shall withdraw from their shining. Look, dearly beloved Muslim, this biblical language can be connected up with our scripture, and it's not my attempt to do this. For instance,
the stars shall withdraw their shining. In the Quran, it say the stars will fall, losing their lustre. Something of that nature. And it talk about the moon being cleft asunder in the Quran. In the day of Yom Medin. We understand all of that. So now we know, according to the Imam Joel, this scripture is talking about the plan that the Zionists would use on their little children, the Gentile. That's what Superman is all about. When his parents, one being Joel, they put a R in there. Fathers and give birth to the mind of the Gentile, the Superman. So this book of Joel is heavily reflective of the diabolic plan that the Imam talked about in the quote that I read. Really, this thing is really connected up to the myth of Isis, who is symbolized in mythology by the moon. And Isis eclipsed her father, the sun. And the Imam said the son is related to the brother of Joseph, Benjamin, which refers to the social science in religion, the social life in religion. So what is this talking about in terms of the plan of Joel? It's simple, and we're not going to spend a lot of time on it. Putting the sun in the dark is the same thing as eclipsing the sun. And that's exactly what happened. The social science was taken away from the church doctrine that was given to the masses. It should have been a situation that, as scripture says, when Jesus is pierced, out come water and blood. Out come knowledge of the spiritual life, and out come knowledge of the social life. But because the sun was eclipsed, and the social life was taken away, and the social justice was taken away, and the people became icy and cold in their relationship with each other. Over time in the world of the Gentile, the spirit was given over to a materialistic doctrine. And Joel knew what was going to happen because you cannot eradicate social impulse and social justice from the people. So they came and gave the spirit over to a doctrine of redness, a doctrine of blood. They put blood on the spirit. They put blood on the moon. And what was that materialistic doctrine called? Communism? So you can predict that if you eclipse the sun, and if you take the urge for social life and social justice out of religion, then that urge is going to go toward materialism, and the people are going to come up with a secular materialistic philosophy to look for social justice. And Marx wrote that about in Engels with their doctrine of communism, or dialectic materialism, or scientific materialism. No, that's all Joel was talking about. But so why disconnected with ISIS? Because what they're projecting on the world, to the world, if they arise, is not the physical savagery of ISIS. That's not the problem. What they are projecting is that now the Muslim world, who follow the prophet that brought the sun and moon together, brother, that's not in Quran. When they tried to get Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam to renounce this religion, and they came to him with all kinds of deals to get him to renege on his obligation to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And he told them, if you put the sun in one hand and the moon in the other hand, never would I forsake my mission. That was not only a statement of determination, that was a statement saying, you are not Akbar, you are not the greatest. If you gave me the sun and the moon, they would be separated. But this Quran that Allah has given me is going to bring the sun and moon together. They won't be in different hands. They'll be totally synthesized, totally integrated in terms of this balanced deen that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given me. So what Allah is giving me is greater than any wealth that you can amass, is greater than any gift that you can amass. Just like when Sheba went to Solomon, peace be upon him, and offered him those gifts, and he said, and I'm paraphrasing, what Allah has for me is better than what you can give me. Oh, yes. So this religion not only came to resurrect the socialized, but to bring it in perfect synthesis with the spiritual urges in mankind. That's why when the Hajj was completed in early October, and we celebrated the major Eid after the Hajj was over, this blood moon thing did not happen before. The Hajj occurred first. Why? Because the Hajj came to correct this problem that the schemers laid out in that biblical verse of Joel. What better ritual of social science than bringing all the sons and daughters of Adam together in purity, in harmony, kings with peasants and peasants with kings. That's our deen. That's what Hajj gives us. So this deen has come to correct the error of the people who look for social justice and materialism, who blooded the moon of spirituality, of Western spirituality, with scientific materialism, dialectic materialism, or communism, or scientific socialism, whatever term we want to use. Now, Reagan was not a buffoon. He would have told the people about this reality. And look, this blood moon occurs on the 117th birthday of the late Elijah Muhammad. And as we indicated before, if you add that one and one together, you get two, and the seven is already there. And I was paying particular attention, strict attention to the events on October the 7th leading up to this astronomical phenomenon, because I also knew That the other individual from Chicago, one Jesse Jackson, had a birthday coming up the day after on October the 8th. Let me just say this. A hint to the wise is sufficient. The work of Elijah brought us to the Hajj as African Americans. The work of Jackson, a son of Jacob, Jesse, that's supposed to have been the father of David in Bible. But look at the word Jesse. See how you jest? And when the people challenged Ibrahim, they knew our people jested it with religion. And Jesse, and I'm not picking on him, he's just one example of how African-American leadership, some of them, have finally bought into the scheme of Jacob or Joel and have started hunching. And when we were in the street, when somebody was jesting us or messing with us, we would say, "Who you hunching?" Have started jesting and playing with the mind of African American people when it comes to religion. And so, in Quran, the challenge is to Ibrahim, are you one who brought the truth? Are you one who jests? Are you another slick, smooth-talking, corrupt priest representing the priest class? Or are you a genuine person under the prophetic archetype? Elijah came with the prophetic urge. His son completed it by bringing us to the Hajj. But you notice, it says that the Dr. King, and we should study these things, passed away. Blood comes in with Jesse. They said he put some blood on his T-shirt and went on national news and alleged that he had gotten bloody by holding Doc in his arm. Now, that's what's been reported. And we have this leadership that have projected a desire to see African Americans receive our just due, our social justice, but they have been jesting us by continuing to give us false justice. Look at that word, justice. Just ICE. These people did not debunk that ISIS teaching that was given to us. These people did not melt the ICE house. It took Elijah, who was fed by ravens in the wilderness of North America. Yeah, that biblical Elijah, go check it out. He was fed by ravens. Elijah Muhammad was fed by a raven by the name of Farad Muhammad. Until his son could be initiated in pure Quran Kareem. Now, this fella that got ICE in his name, Ray Rice, well, it's well known now that he wears the number 27. And he comes in the news this year as Elijah approached this birthday with the number 27. But now, Rice doesn't play for the 49ers. Rice doesn't play for the Redskins. Rice doesn't play for the Bear. Rice doesn't play for the Lions. Rice doesn't play for the Cardinals. Rice doesn't play for the Rams. You get the message. Rice plays for the Ravens. Well, brother, that's a far-fetched conclusion about using that, him playing for the Ravens, Elijah numbers being 120, being 27, and then connecting that up with Bible. But I tell you what, you go and study what hit the news around about that same day. I was studying
this African American woman who played a child actor on Bill Cosby's show. Her name is Raven. She got up and made a statement that made national news about her identity as an African American. And we as a people, we still fighting these same battles about racial identity because we fail to heed the great wisdom of Elijah Muhammad. And so this bringing in the national headline, this woman named Raven, they didn't understand this, they didn't plan this. A lemonade that happened was a reference to, hey, the real event now, the real focus is on Elijah who was fed by that raven, but his son came and took his people to the high that had occurred a few days later before Elijah's birthday. Let me tell you, all of us as followers of the late Honorable Elijah Muhammad and his son, Imam Wazuddin Muhammad, we better go take another look at those fellas. Because Allah did a great, great big work with them. And even some of their most dedicated admirers, they still have not been able to fathom the magnitude, the bigness of what happened with Elijah Muhammad and his son, Wazuddin Muhammad. The Nation of Islam was fed by a raven because their leader was fed by a raven. But Elijah stood over a womb that allowed his son to be de-ravenized, and he was fed upon a diet of pure Quran in time. And when I wasn't focusing on the news out of conviction that this whole world's life now in this Yom Kippur is part of the judgment, the mission of what happened in the Nation of Islam and in the life work of Imam Muhammad is front and center. All these attempts to make the events of the world big and to downplay their wonderful legacy is for naught. So every now and then Allah will lay out a scenario so we can look at what's really significant in terms of these events. And in the word significance, we see silly signs, ayahs, evidence, lessons, and proof of what? That Allah is fully in charge of his affair. And what happened with Elijah Muhammad, who was fed by a raven, and his son fed by pure Quran, was providential. In the signs, and look at the word providential, proof and evidence. These signs of proof that Allah raised up the Nation of Islam, that Allah sent Farah Muhammad with all his limitations to be transformed into a raven to feed Elijah in the wilderness of Paradise Valley, the black bottom of the trough. And his son went into the religion and understood that Adam would be resurrected on socialize, 60 arm span. And he knew that the Mecca and the Kaaba represented the original nature of Adam.
that when women went on the hide, they could wear one complete dress, but the men had to put on what the imam called diapers. And it's because of the diaper psychology of brothers like Jesse and others, these lieutenants who want to be captains, these lieutenants who want to be captains, their egos make them operate on an immature and babyish way. And they throw the earrings of Jacob and Joel into the fire, and they fashion these false gods to put us in as a people. And they envy and they covet the blessings that Almighty God gave to Imam Muhammad. In the day of judgment, the blood moon will be cleft asunder. That's the Quran. The Imam brought a message to break up this ISIS scheme. And the Muslim world resented him because they know that their priest class and their potentate have distilled the religion of Al-Islam and watered it down so that the people are given a diluted half of the religion, not the real half, the spirituality of individual excellence, excuse me, Hayat Salah, not the original purity of individual excellence that the prophet brought, but a watered down part of that hair, and that they have refused to give the second hair that comes from marriage, that comes from formation of social life, Hayat Salah, come and cultivate the community life. And the Imam told us that Barack Obama, Hussein Obama, is the Hajj. And the wise understand that. And look what they do. Everything they can blame on him in order to weaken your resolve, weaken your faith, as if the Imam didn't know what he was talking about when he had high assessment of Obama's character. As if he was blind to something, as if he missed something. The man was right on the money. Look at this man that had this Obama derangement syndrome on Fox News. Said Obama does not want to have a travel ban because Ebola comes out of West Africa. And because he identifies with Africa and doesn't love America, he's deliberately doing that because of his love for Africa, and he's not concerned about the American people. Now, how much of this BS have to pile up before we can see what's being made plain? Allah raise up Barack Hussein Obama. I was talking to a Muslim that had been looking at television, and he wanted to say, drinking all that Kool-Aid on the news without understanding. He wanted to say that what happened in the hospital in Texas, the breaking of protocol, the negligence, the malfeasance, that happened on Obama. It's not a president in the world and in the history of this country that could be held responsible for everything that happened in all these hundreds and hundreds and thousands of hospitals in America. Why, that's absurd. All of all, the president going to be able to control what happened in a hospital in the desert of Utah somewhere. But what happened to the brother, this propaganda is weakening him. Is weakening his faith. When we used to talk, he had strong faith back when the man was first making these statements about it, Obama. But he's out the satanic scheme to make him weak. The scheme to try to project
I'm going to treat you just like boys. Just like the Saudis told him, ma'am, we'll let you have, we'll give you money. But you gotta let us be our fathers. And many of these Zionists are getting next to these sons of Jack and making them deals. You can have what you want in the world, but you gotta let me be your father. You gotta let me project the ideals that you need to follow. And Imam says, sadly, for the first time in our history, some African American leaders were buying consciously into the big scheme of Satan. Jesse did not challenge this ice that was given to our people. A handsome man, a strong man, a charismatic man, an intelligent man. But Elijah did. So they came back to back. Elijah took the bold step. Elijah took the deep step. Elijah was willing to go on the run and give up the world. Elijah was willing to go to prison for years. And then he was willing to come out and start all over again with a very small membership and to struggle with asthma and other biological and physiological maladies. So it firm until the law raised up the man who would bring us the signs of Satan and give us the signs of heart, which would break the satanic scheme to put blood on the moon. To make us think the only route for social justice is through some kind of secular ideology, because it's not to be found in religion. And when I was a young man in the 60s, I gave up on religion because we fell for that satanic scheme to darken the sun, as it says in Joel, and as this buffoon said, to put blood on the moon. Now, if we want to get caught up in this little bloody moon phenomenon and all of this, then we need to maybe relate to that kind of analysis from a donkey, but a sincere student of Imam Muhammad. All this is tied into this Ebola situation. And we are going to be shocked at the subtle, mysterious messages that's being projected from the Satan himself. Even the term Ebola is full of diabolic implications and ramifications. And it's projecting how the Satan plans to use the descendants of slaves that came out of West Africa as a battering ram to finish his scheme before the world. But Satan planned, and Allah plan, and Allah is the best of planners. And we're looking at his pose, his stance, his scheme, because Allah is exposing him, and he exposed him by giving the son of the raven man, Elijah Muhammad, who was taught in the wilderness, the signs of Satan. We can study Quran and get all righteous, but if we're not as wise as that serpent, as Isa said, peace be upon him, and as Imam said, that the Shaitan would make a fool out of you in your righteousness.
we must also have the wisdom of the serpent, the science of Satan. That's what Jesus was talking about, the science of Satan.
And Allah bless that nappy-headed one like Belial to give him the complete science of Satan. And so now we as students, we can check him, we can track him down, and we can talk about him for the vicious schemer that he is. Dearly beloved Muslims, when we see all these signs and wonders how Allah is with us, we are to be patient, we are to persevere, and we are to say what the prophet said in his blessed Sahabas. They said at the Battle of Bedr, this is what Allah has promised us. So in this struggle, and yeah, they're struggling to deal with us, and next week we're going to show how on a major television show that was a whole-scale, open, blatant attempt to try to tell the world, in essence, the only thing left to block our fulfillment of our multimillennial scheme is this religion of Al-Islam. That's the only thing blocking us. If we can besmirch it, if we can isolate it, if we can slander it and defame it before global man, we might have a chance to complete finally our scheme and our plan. Dearly beloved Muslims, it's not going to happen. It'll never happen. The mere fact that a donkey like me, a student of Imam Muhammad, could come on here and show you that his tracks are being read. If he couldn't stop a donkey like me from speaking with a man's boy, it is part of the Lord's plan that we speak with a man's boy. How is he going to complete this plan? It'll never happen. So let's take solace in the wisdom of Allah. Let's take solace in the grace and blessing of God. Let's be strong. Let's be faithful. Let's be kind and merciful toward each other, loaded with the believers and mighty against the rejecters of faith, mighty against the makers of the pit of the fire, as our early Quranic verses indicated, mighty against the makers of the pit of the fire. Dearly beloved people, this is only part one. If you get a chance, please try to be available as we humbly try to look at this ebb and flow of Ola that they call Ebola. We try to take a look at this ebb and flow of Ola. You know the Nigerians, Ola is their way of saying Allah, Allah. But they also identify that word Ola with Allah's attribute, El Ghani, the rich of wealth. Go look it up. Go research it. But I don't want to get into next week. Let's bring this talk to a close. Dearly beloved Muslims, we thank you for your attention. We leave you as we greeted you. As-salamu alaykum. I turn the call back over to my good friend and my brother, dedicated, determined servant of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We send effusive du'as upon him and his family. May Allah reward him for his sacrifice. I refer to none other than a courageous, fearless, get-in-your-face imam about this wonderful mission. Brother Alfred, I'm open for any questions or commentary, if you're on the line.
Yes, sir, I'm here, but my dear brother, had to go out on an emergency. But back, got to see if there any questions on the board. Just a moment. I want to ask you, I didn't hear your
comment, but I wanted to ask you, what do you think the meaning of the treatment of the Caucasian? Do we have a call? Yes. 347, we have a question for 347.
Yes.
Yes.
I'm sorry. Brother Imam Alpha. How you doing?
Well, like about Salam, my beloved.
Yeah. I'm making brother Yusuf.
May Allah reward you for your life.
Brilliant talk you gave just a while ago, man. Brilliant. See, you have insight. Imam Alfin have insight, and this is the leadership that is needed among us today. We need people that is bold enough to stand up in the face of this shaitan that has been ruling the world. No, God only gave him a certain length of time, and this is the conclusion of his time. And we need to have a leadership.
That's right, my brother. You're right. That's right. This conclusion. You're right.
Yeah, that we need leaders. We need imams. You don't have to be imams. You just got the courage to follow the tafsir of the imam, because what we have been given from the army lines Muhammad down to Imam W.D. Muhammad, we have been given the world leadership. God has given us the leadership to be the leaders of the day. I enjoyed when you were talking about Ebola, because I've been working on that. I've been looking at this here, and you hit a lot of nails on the head, man. You know, Zechariah in Scripture, he was told for 3 days not to talk, just use sign language, hand language. And that was more done in the esoteric time of Egypt, who gave the world. There was a figure in Egypt called Abu Simbel, the father of symbolism. And that's where symbolism came out of, Egypt. Egypt is the one that the Greeks paid tribute to for the secret knowledge and language. Israel too. That's where they got their secret knowledge and language. It's from Egypt. So I look at Ebola. It's talking about exit. One of them is talking about exit the lab out of Liberia and Africa. And the other one is talking about Ebola is if the back on lies again. How did they get us out of Africa? On lies? How did they get power over Africa? On lies? So they don't do nothing, repeat themselves. That's what they're doing today. And God has blessed you to see a lot of these things, Brother Imam Salam. And I appreciate it, man. Those of us who have followed the Imam and is tuned to the Imam language, we're not lost in this here. We're not lost in this here. We are the ones that God has blessed. Imam Alpha see these things. That's how come he, no matter, Brother Imam, may God, Brother Imam Alpha, may God give you his mercy and blessing, man, and hold you here. Hold you here, brother, because I know that God recognized your consciousness of trying to get your people to where they got to go, man. You too, Brother Imam Salam. See, these are the kind of voices that we need to be heard right now on these airwaves. We don't need to hear these voices that play the role of Dathan in Egypt, trying to keep us under the thumb of the slave master called Pharaoh. That's what happened to Joseph Jackson. You pointed it out. Imam said he got a chance to speak for his people. And he tried, the only thing he did was make a job for himself and his buddies. We got them kind of people over us right now. Most of the leaders in Washington, political leaders, they Mason. And they're Christian preachers. And they're the one that got the sentiments of our people in our hands. And they're just like Dathan. Every time they'll rise up one to try to get us out of Egypt, they want to hold us back by giving us these ideals that we cannot get our needs. Must have and can't do without someone outside of us giving it to it, like the white man or the red man or the yellow man or brown man. No. God has given us everything that we need to get where we got to go through the leadership of the army lines, Muhammad and Imam, especially those of us who are new people. And the newest people in America, in this big Christian nation, is Muslim. They came out of the nation of Islam and grew out of darkness into the light, by God's permission, through the leadership of Imam W.D. Muhammad. And we know how to bust down that secret language, brother, because you've been doing it well tonight. I appreciate you, Brother Imam Salam. Keep the good work up. And Brother Imam Alpha, anything that I can do, man, you know what all you got to do. Pick up the phone and give me a call, man. I love you, man. My God, continue to both of you.
I love you as well
for what you're doing.
Brother, I humbly appreciate the comments, but we know it's all about Allahu Akbar, alhamdulillah. And who provided this forum? When these ideas and these perceptions was percolating in the soul and mind of this donkey, isolated in a rural area of Alabama, who was man enough to sacrifice and create a forum who Allah could use as an instrument to create a forum for these ideas to be put on record? And let me tell you, if something happened to me and Brother Imam Afrit tomorrow, these ideas has already been put on the record clear, the eternal record, and they cannot be erased. And Allah will raise up another one, another donkey, to clarify the matters even further. Brother Imam Afrit has already done a yeoman's job for providing this forum. I don't take any credit as a donkey, but believe me, a forum was needed where these broadcasts that's been put in the atmosphere for almost now a year and a half to 2 years, and we owe it all to the sacrifice and work of Imam Afrit Muhammad. You can take that to the bank.
And you know what? But I must tell you, there were several donkeys in the barnyard, and we were not eating straws. We might have been surrounded with a bunch of cows, certainly a bunch of goats. And the wolves came through, too, and they've been nipping at us, but we've been able to survive. I tell you, our next lecture in Chicago, we're going to be talking about the rise of the global man, the committed witness. And I thought it would be quite appropriate to do that lecture in December, since we're going to have the Christmas, well, I would say mass, but mass, I know they talk in my community, but it's been a Christmas. So we're going to talk about the mass and the message, and we're going to address time for us to stand up. I believe 2015 is going to be a great year, be 40 years that the Blessed Imam has brought the Quran, pure Quran, and the pure understanding of everything in creation. You know, a lot of people say, oh, the only man brought with the Quran. Well, that would be a good thing, too. But God has given the man the ability to read the creation. And we have a profound reading. Imam Wali Ali suggested that we have titled the program The Promised Reading. And I said, I like that. He said, the Pope, nobody won't come to hear that. But the Bible talks about a promised reading. Well, I want to say this to the audience. Every one of these broadcasts for the next month will be 3 years. I think we got about 2 years now of daily broadcasts. And we had, down with Brother Imam Yusuf, about one year and a half. So we make it progress. And eventually some enterprising student and some retired person who has want to volunteer, they can go through and record of all these broadcasts and transcribe them. We're going to have books that's going to be available. This Friday series should be put in a book. And books. And then some enterprising grad student to come along, put the footnotes to it, and we will have scholarship to feed our people. We don't have to worry about no Islamic law person coming along. We get out, as God has blessed us to develop our own method right on the spot. So, Brother Imam, I don't have much more to say. Alpha, does any other questioners? Any other questioners? All right, Brother Imam, you can close us out.
Well, again, Brother Imam, we thank you for your efforts with this forum. We look forward to this important work continuing. And let me say to all the believers, let's remain firm and steadfast.
Okay.
Until Allah accomplishes his purpose. And his purpose for the descendants of slaves because he's El Adam, is justice. And we will receive our true justice and not just ice that this world gave us in the name of justice. Peace be upon everyone. One, assalamu alaikum.
Well, alaikum assalam. Give love, people. See you again tomorrow. Religion means alive. We should have an interesting program. Thank you so much.